Hey, everybody, welcome into Sports MacGuffins, a number that I can't even remember. It doesn't matter anymore.
28.
9?
8.
Yeah.
28.
I'm Nick, and I'm joined by Daryl.
Yes, you are.
And it's just the two of us tonight. And so normally, this is a part of the season where it's like, okay, this is kind of fun. We get to talk about the NBA. We get to talk about college basketball. We're ramping up, getting ready for March Madness, which is one of my favorite times of the year. It's right around St. Patrick's Day when the Irish get to have a really good time for once. And so the thing tonight is we'll start with this. We have some breaking news. Breaking news, Daryl. Breaking news. And this just came down the wire literally like an hour and a half ago, maybe. Apparently, the Giants have agreed to trade Odell Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns. That's confirmed by ESPN's Adam Schefter, who is a guy who, and we know this is a podcast for the folks who are fans of all levels of sports, right? That means you could not care, and like we're here for you. but you could also really love sports, and that's what we're here to talk about too. Is like we want to include everybody, and if you have any questions or anything, feel free to write us or watch us live when we do this on twitch.tv/Schwarzenegger. So we do this Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., in case you weren't aware. But this blockbuster deal sends the star receiver. By the way, it was less than a year ago that he just signed this massive contract with the team, by the way. A ton of money. Mm-hmm. But just so you're aware, here's what he's worth, apparently. The Giants will get a first-round pick this year. It's the number 17 overall pick of the draft. Because the Browns actually were decent this year. They also received the Browns' second third-round pick. So they have two third-round picks. It's the second of the two. That's the 95th overall. Also, safety Jabril Peppers is included in the deal. So the Browns are stacking up their offense, baby, and already have another dynamic wide receiver. And now that they've got the young and excellent Baker Mayfield, It's time, Daryl. The Browns are on the move.
Yeah,
coming
sure.
back in. What are you talking about?
What do you mean coming back? What, Nick? When were they there?
Okay, the Browns are making a move. They're becoming relevant for the first time in franchise history. How about that?
Yeah, before Baker Mayfield implodes.
Why do you hate Baker so much?
I'm sorry, Faker Lamefield. I'm sorry. I mispronounced his name.
Right. By the way, that deal I was telling you about, Beckham signed, it was a 5-year deal worth up to $98 million. $98.5 million. Sorry, I didn't mean to drop off the $500,000 there. that's a lot of money. They just signed him. And like the guy was adamant that they were not going to trade him. Dave Gettleman is the Giants GM, and he's like, no, we're not doing it. 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 Then he called Beckham tonight and was like, I'm trading you to the Browns. That's the way the wheel turns sometimes. I will say this. If I'm Beckham, I mean, aside from the nightlife, I like this trade a lot.
Well, because I think the Giants are going to be doing a lot of, how do they sugarcoat it? They're going to be exploring what they have on their roster this season.
Yeah, they're going to be making some long-term decisions.
Yeah, they have to see what they have.
Yeah, you gotta see what crap is going to float to the top.
Yeah, because you have. Yeah. By the way, for those who don't know, we are coyly talking about tanking. And
tanking is the act of a team basically just not giving an S and they're not. Okay, sometimes they intentionally try to lose. But in some cases, they
I can think of a few. Like, a couple of seasons ago when the Buffalo Bills, they're like on the cusp whether or not of going to the playoffs with, I say Gerard Hurt, that's not his name. with Tyrod Taylor. Or it was a Tyrod. It is Tyrod. Okay.
It's Tyrod. Yeah,
but,
it's Tyrod.
But they had Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback, and they were above 500. You know, they were a game or so out of the playoffs, and then they decided that, you know what? No, we're in the playoff hunt. Let's sit our starting quarterback and put in Nathan Peterman. Because we have to see what we have. Or the Buffalo Bulls. Not Buffalo.
Oh, my God.
Chicago Bulls.
I had a moment there. My brain, like, collapsed on itself.
Buffalo Bulls is a college team. But the Chicago Bulls, they did that, too, where they were basically tanking and just putting in all their garbage players. Saying yeah. that we need to see what we have on our roster.
That is code.
Like, they work out in your facility every week. You practice with them every week. You scrimmage with them every week. You watched film on them before you drafted them or signed them. You know what you have. It's not like there's a bunch of players that are, 12 or 13 on the depth chart. That are, just the next Michael Jordan just waiting for the chance.
But I tell you what, too, is that Gettleman, who's the GM again for the Knicks, like at the end of it was like, or at the end of the news conference at the scouting combine last month, just last month, we didn't sign Odell to trade him, okay? So, here's the thing, right? We can make fun of the Giants all we want for being bad, and we will because they will be.
Yeah, and they're a division rival, so it's all right.
Yeah, exactly. We're Cowboys fans, so to hell with them. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I think this is a really good move for the Browns because, I can't really think of a team that the Browns has ever had that I've actually thought to myself, that team is kind of stacked. Like, I've never had that thought. I've had the thought of, that's a decent setup, or that's a decent running back, or that's a decent wide receiver. It's never been, that's a decent offense. With the exception maybe of the year that Derek Anderson took them to 10 wins in a playoff bid. And the only reason I remember that season is because Derek Anderson took them to a playoff bid and 10 wins.
Yep.
So,
and that was
I think they're in prime position here to actually make a move. They did fairly well this past year. They're upping their stuff. They did make a little bit of a misstep. It's a good sign in terms of talent, but it's a bit of a misstep in terms of who you got in Kareem Hunt. They signed him to a one-year deal.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a great... God. He's a great player. He's a trash human, right? That's a very Jerry Jones move to me because king more in tune with the man who has done effed up than Jerry Jones.
What's his name? I can't even. I just totally blocked him out.
Tank Johnson?
Tank Johnson was the one with the guns. He ended up not being too bad.
Adam Jones?
He didn't really do anything when he was in Dallas.
No, he didn't.
Who's the other one?
Sam Hurd?
No, Sam Hurd was fine until he was arrested for selling cocaine. No, who's the one that they signed? The one that had the domestic abuse thing.
Oh, domestic violence. God.
He was a defensive end, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Was it Peppers?
No, it wasn't Peppers.
God. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Long story short, he came in. Everyone hated him. He was a jerk, and he basically dragged down the team the whole season.
Oh, my God. I can picture who it is, too.
And he just was poison in the locker room, and I think he is an MMA fighter, and I think he got his ass whipped in his first fight.
Oh, really?
No, or did he cheat? I think he cheated. Yeah, I want to say he cheated. Who was that guy? He said weird things about Tom Brady's wife.
Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy.
I like that. All I had to do was Cowboys domestic violence in the. Greg Hardy pops up.
Let's see, Ultimate Fighting. After obtaining an undefeated professional record of 3-0 against probably bags of sand, he knocked out inside 1 minute. Hardy made his UFC promotional debut against Alan Crowder. Hardy lost the fight via disqualification. Hardy hit Crowder with a knee while Crowder was down on the ground. There you go. He cheated.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Oh, the Spurs are doing their darndest to lose this here basketball game.
Yeah. To a hobbled Doncic.
Yeah. So we'll be talking more about some of the free agency acquisitions and movements, and also we'll be talking about the NBA and where it sits, and also if people should actually care about conference championship week in men's basketball. Okay, but next, it's the story I really wanted to get out of the gate, which is, holy hell. There's a story that just dropped, and it is so juicy. Like, I don't know how much you've read about this, Daryl, but a bunch of college coaches took cash bribes as part of a multi-million dollar college admission scandal. Okay, and normally you're thinking, oh, like, oh my god, like, what school did that? What schools did that, my man?
Yep.
And you know what? I don't even put it on the schools themselves, because these people are playing the system. So let me give you a little bit of background of what's happening here. So the FBI ended up busting open a multi-year and multi-million dollar cheating scandal that basically helped kids of rich families get into highly selective universities by fudging their academic and athletic credentials, right? This is something that was reported by NBC News. So it's the scandal itself is centered around the Edge College and Career Network, which is known and referred to as the Key. So just remember that when you're dropping a bunch of puns later about how this is the key to your life. It's a for-profit college counseling and preparation business that employed a variety of ways to help sneak incoming freshmen into some of the country's most elite institutions of higher learning. So basically, the way that this worked is, first off, they got a bunch of cooperating witnesses. In fact, I think there was over three. There's definitely at least three. But a bunch of cooperating witnesses who worked in the case, they were saying that the plot basically targeted families who were, you know, they had money. They were rich enough to afford services of this particular company, but they weren't rich enough to use that traditional institution advancement method, which is normally, you know, buying a new wing or a library or donating a huge amount of money to the school and having a fountain named after yourself, right? Kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So instead of using what was normally called a backdoor entrance to the school, the key opens, what's called a side door.
Right.
What they would do is they'd fabricate credentials that in theory would guarantee kids admission into a school that they, you know, might not otherwise. Basically, instead of hedging your bets and going through the system that we all went through, Daryl and myself included, we've done it. We went to the same school. I know it. I watched him fill out some of his stuff.
Yep.
It's true.
My parents would not have paid $60,000 for me to go to UT.
Hell no, sir.
This is usually not to be confused with the other scandal of people bribing to get players with talent. This were coaches being bribed to take on people with no talent.
Right. That's pay to play. This was pay to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that was actually kind of clever. All right. Go me.
Because coaches, they usually have like a set amount per year of, admission waivers or admission things like that. And usually they use them on good players or people who have some sort of difficulty getting in. Like, I don't know, they're missing an ACT or SAT score. And. No, they were using, I guess they had some left over, so it was like, well, I might as well make a few tens, thousands of dollars selling these spots. And that's what happened. Also, part of it was they were paying people to take PSATs and ACTs for these kids. And they were also, or they were even bribing the proctors to correct the tests.
Yep. Oh, don't forget about the photoshopping of student faces onto bodies of legitimate athletes.
Yes.
In their profiles.
Because if you don't know, if you haven't gone to the deep, seedy underbelly of recruiting, there's these websites where you can put like your profile and you can put all your recruitable information on there so people can find it. It's like LinkedIn or something like that. But it's more...
But it's more skeezy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this isn't just for the big sports. You know, this is things like swimming and, you know, tennis and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, which is actually what a lot of these folks ended up coming in on. Scholarship. Yeah. Well, having been like the star athlete of tennis or whatever.
Yeah. Some of them didn't even play the sports that they claimed they were, not much less play them at any sort of competitive level, much less were actually good at them at a competitive level.
So yeah, we talked about a couple of the different ways that they got in, the bribing, the, using a charity. Okay. They used a charity to launder money used for bribing coaches into labeling students as recruits. Think about that sentence for a second. They used a charity to launder money that was used to bribe coaches into labeling the students as recruits. That is like a three-tiered program. Oh yeah, and then like parents supplied staged photographs showing their children engaged in athletic activity. They fabricated fake student athlete profiles, like you talked about. It's incredible. So apparently, the investigation found that beyond getting test administrators at two locations, one was in Houston, Texas, and the other one was in West Hollywood, of course. To either let students cheat or, in some cases, correct answers after the tests. The athletics departments were in on the racket, too. And one of the cooperating witnesses in this case was actually a former Yale women's soccer coach. And says that there are other instances of coaches agreeing to call incoming students recruits to ease admission standards, even though those kids never intended to play sports at the collegiate level. So that drops and you read it and you're like, wow, what a ridiculous headline. I can't believe it. And then like, I mean, we're actually fairly connected to it because someone from the school we went to, University of Texas, the tennis coach actually was involved. Michael Center.
Yep.
And go ahead.
Who is the coach of the currently third ranked tennis team in NCAA.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a big deal there. And then the other thing is, like, we're not even immune to it in our world of entertainment. And that, let's see. So in all, 40 people have been charged in the case, right? Charges range from, get this, conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud, conspiracy to commit racketeering, and conspiracy to defraud the United States. And the full list, by the way, can be found on the United States Department of Justice website. We'll include a link below. among the 40 who are charged include actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. You might remember Felicity Huffman from Sports Night. Of course you don't. From Desperate Housewives. There you go. And Lori Loughlin from Full House. Court documents say that Huffman and their husband, actor William H. Macy, paid the key $15,000 in order to apply the scheme to their eldest daughter's college application. But they didn't use it for the younger daughter because she was smart. That's not what it said. Yeah. That's just what I'm inferring.
And what's really awful is that some of these kids didn't even know this was happening.
A lot of them did not. So yeah. Here's the thing. So I went through all that. And like Daryl and I share like a linked document that has all these links and stuff that I send along. And then I found this particularly detailed article. I wouldn't spend this much time on this, but this is just it's too funny. So they explain in detail how the actual side door scheme works. And I like that because normally it's a back door, right? So in this case, we're going to call it a side door.
Yeah. Or a Sally Gate if you're a Castle fan.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So here's an interesting one. So a majority of the fake credentials fabricated, a lot of this is from corroborating witness one. Cooperating parents would pretend the kid in question was a star athlete of some sort, which allow them to be subject to more lax admissions criteria, which is something we talked about. Again, the CD underbelly of recruiting is that, well, you're going to ease some restrictions to get the best to come to your school. So this dad tried to get his son into USC and Stanford via the football team, despite his son never actually playing football. The solution was to pretend he was a kicker or a punter and Photoshop his face onto a real kicker for application photos.
I like how you can just send in a picture of yourself playing football, and that's good enough.
And if you read this back and forth, by the way, the person is the corroborating witness is like, yeah, so this is how it worked before. We made this. We had this person last year. I made him a long snapper. And the guy in the background, like, so this is all like basically almost like court stenographer notes, right? Like very closely kept. And the person's always like coming back like, oh, I love that. Oh, absolutely. I love it. Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's very uncomfortable. And he goes, I love it. I love it. That is so funny because the one dude ended up putting like this other person's face on a 145-pound kid who pretended to be a kicker. here's one where the parents of this family wanted to get their daughter into Georgetown, but the feds realized that she was bad at tennis. So she submitted an application to Georgetown in 2015. It was falsified. Indicating she played club tennis all through high school for 20 hours per week and 52 weeks per year, and listed her as having a top 50 ranking in the United States Tennis Association. And then it went on to list like everything else, when, how many years that she played it and what years. And then it goes on to say, in fact, records obtained from UTSA or USTA, I'm sorry, do not show that she played at any USTA tournaments in high school. And then it has like a little asterisk, right, that's supposed to direct you to the bottom of the page. The bottom of the page, it says, at her best, she appears to have ranked 207th in Northern California in the under-12 girls division with an overall win-loss record of 2-8. I do love that they're just kind of brutal about it. Here we have someone who is doing, who said they were fake or like trying to pretend that their kids were rowers.
Yep.
And a high school student who couldn't even fill out her own application.
Nick, you don't need to be able to fill out applications to row. All right.
USC actually features predominantly in the FBI investigation because USC Senior Associate Director Donna Heinel was in on the scheme. She personally took bribes of $20,000 per month in exchange for accepting an applicant as a fake basketball player.
I think that's a little too ambitious for a basketball player.
Yeah, seriously.
I can see sneaking in someone in on the rowing team or the tennis team.
Oh my God. Here we have parents trying to get their daughters in USC via the rowing team, despite her not rowing and also getting an F in art history. They lied
in
about
art
her
history.
They lied about her credentials and had someone take online classes for her.
Art history, a class that's meant to just fill up one of your sections.
Oh my God.
And you failed it.
Okay, so here's the best anecdote of the whole thing though. So the person in this one allegedly chose water polo as the route for his son into USC, right? Despite the fact that he never played water polo in his high school, didn't have a water polo team. So he bought
on a club team, Nick.
I guess he bought a bunch of water polo stuff on Amazon and conducted a photo shoot, which the corroborating witness number one advised him on. And then they kept asking this guy to send a goddamn photo of the kid so they could Photoshop it on. And he never provided it, so they just took the image of a random player and put it in his application. This is the level that we're dealing with, people, and you wonder why they get caught.
some of these people were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this was the kind of work that they were getting in return. These people were robbed by the key.
Oh, my God. Okay. So that's
Nick, did you know that water polo is not a UIL sport? It is not a recognized sport in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have water here in Texas, so that explains
it. Yeah, we don't have no water here. Maybe throwing balls around. If you're throwing balls around, you better be a quarterback.
You better be quarterbacking or a pitcher.
Yep.
Better be pitching.
Ain't be splashing around in no water like some kind of fish. I don't know why I said. Oh, Nick, one brutal thing that was in the notes, they're just listing like the institutions. Like, oh, these institutions are like Stanford, a highly selective public university. USC, a highly selective private university. The University of Texas, a highly selective public university. University of San Diego, a selective private university. It was the only one on the list that was not highly selective.
Well, you know. You think the parents of that one were like,
They spent money to get their kid in the... And even the prosecutor who's trying to really, you know, gussy up these charges could not take it upon himself to call it a highly selective.
He couldn't bring himself to do it.
No, we gotta...
All right.
Little secret brutality there in the...
Well, there's a ton more on that, and if you have the chance, I highly recommend looking into God, it's such a good story, man. Yeah, there's a lot that you can dig up on it, though. Like, apparently they wiretapped a few of the calls there towards the end during the investigation. So, whoopsie. But we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit more about, even just a little briefly here, just some of the free agency moves in the NFL, because that is our bread and butter. It's the one thing that we really love other than college football. And we love all
the
sports.
Cowboys gotten so far.
Oh, they got a tight end.
Nice.
Who did the Cowboys get?
We got Jason Witten.
Oh, yeah, we got Jason Witten back. Congratulations, everybody. The man who couldn't handle his time in the booth is coming back down to the field.
Yeah, couldn't handle time in the booth because they kept cutting the stupid booger and his boogermobile cruising up and down the sideline.
By the way, did that thing look like a gigantic tennis, like, ref's stand?
Yeah, just...
Okay, so they should. The Cowboys did restructure Sean Lee's deal.
Oh, that's true.
So that's good.
Yep. But they lost Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley's going to the Buffalo Bills.
Well, Beasley has been a little iffy on his production lately. Mm. But, you know, he can go throw away his career, I guess.
Yep. That's who, I guess, they didn't want Antonio Brown in Buffalo. Like, no, we don't need Antonio Brown. We can get Cole Beasley.
Hey, man, that's working your way up there, isn't it?
Speaking of moves, Antonio Brown is now a Oakland Raider.
Yeah, that's a big one. It was a trade, too.
Yeah.
In fact, the trade ended up being, let's see, I believe, so it was Antonio Brown for...
Fourth round pick?
Yeah. It was not a...
Basically a salary dump.
It was basically a salary dump is what it was. But I tell you what, man, it feels like the Steelers are just kind of dead in the water now, doesn't it? They've not been the defense of old. Like, the Steelers were this storied, feared defense. Like, when you talked about defense, you talked about the Steelers, but not in the past 5 years, I feel like. And then their offense was really something to write home about. And I would even argue to the point that sometimes Ben Roethlisberger has been a detriment to that offense, although he does keep them in games. But now he doesn't have a really good wide receiver. He hasn't had a great running back, although the backup did fine last year.
Yeah, until they got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So it feels like the Steelers are kind of... Well, how old is Ben? How old is Ben Roethlisberger?
I got to say he's at least 36.
Yeah, right?
That's my guess.
So you got to think they're thinking this is probably the end of his run, right? Because they're gonna be starting over soon. They have to be.
37. He just turned 37 a couple days ago.
Man, I did not know he was that old. I was thinking like 35. And great, yeah. Like you're like, that's a 2-year difference, Nick. It's like, well, in the NFL, that matters. Like literally a career can be made and lost in like 6 months.
Once you get over 32, each year is worth 3 years.
Yeah. In the real world.
In the real world. In real human years.
Yeah, so this Antonio Brown trade is about money. But I got to say that the Steelers come out looking good through it all. Of course, then you remember that the Raiders lost a ton of excellent pieces because John Gruden is an angry, angry man who will have it his own way or no way at all.
And he's going to have his way for 9 more years, guaranteed on his contract. What a great time. So, Antonio Brown. And we still don't have official word yet where the Steelers are going to play next year. I imagine they're going to cut a deal with the city of Oakland.
Oh, you mean Raiders. Whoops. The Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders. Yeah. What did I say?
The Steelers.
The Oakland Steelers. They might as well be the Oakland Steelers, the way that they are shipping off all these parts. Whoa.
And there's also...
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. There were theories going on that Le'Veon Bell was looking at going to the Raiders as well. But I doubt that that's going to happen. But the reason that people were picking up on it is because he was throwing a party. Okay, now get this. This is what they reasoned for why they thought he might be going to the Raiders. The Raiders are looking to go to Las Vegas. Vegas has gambling. Focus of his party was gambling. This is the woo.
Yes.
A to C right there.
Because only people who are going to move to Las Vegas are interested in gambling.
It's true. No good Christians are interested in gambling. God dang it.
As a godless heathen town. You hear that, all of our fans in L.A.? LV.
Yeah, there have been discussions that...
L.A. also a godless town. You heard me.
Well, that one's true.
I've been there.
That's 100% true. Las Vegas is a great city. Don't let anyone fool you. But Los Angeles is a shithole.
Worst city in America. No. There's worse cities.
Yeah, there are worse cities. Detroit. Well, I guess the Ravens are like a team that's somehow in this list. For Le'Veon Bell, they were like in the Jets. So there's not a lot of information really in terms of where he's going. Like, just the latest is that like, oh, it's down to like 3 teams, but we know that it might be the Ravens, even though the Ravens aren't offering as much as everybody else is. But they kind of get a screw you offer, right? Like that you get to stick it to the Steelers twice a year, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, but I mean, that's up to Bell. Like, the reason he sat out for as long as he did was so he could get the big payday. Are you going to go somewhere and then potentially injure yourself just to get the sticking it to the man?
That depends. Depends how much money it is. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends on how much money, I guess. All right, well, the Spurs won tonight, by the way.
Yes, they did. Oh, thank God. It was really scary there at the end, but they did win.
Yes, they do like to keep it interesting.
I think it's safe to say that Luka Doncic got exposed as the fraud that he is.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Don't be mean.
Yeah, he's not like LeBron James this season.
We'll be talking about LeBron James here in just a moment. I'm just kind of scrolling through this list here real fast about anybody else that's interesting. I think an interesting plot point is Nick Foles getting a ton of money. Nick Foles, if you didn't know who he was, you should know who he was because he was just the MVP of the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Because he went to Westlake.
Shut up! I know I like the school Westlake, and I know that, but it's cool because he's from Texas and he won a Super Bowl. He's a backup quarterback. How often does that happen that a backup quarterback wins a Super Bowl aside from when Tom Brady did it? Anyway, Nick Foles won the Super Bowl with the Eagles. 2 years ago, or a year and a half, whatever it is ago.
Yep.
And he won that Super Bowl. He was the MVP. He came in and he played really well for them this past year when Wentz also went down again. He gets signed in one of the worst places in the world, Jacksonville. It might be a nice city, but it's definitely a terrible town for football.
It's not a nice city.
Okay, just it's in Florida, so I don't know. Anyway, it's not a nice city.
Nah, that's not, no. Shout out to all of our listeners in Jacksonville.
Shout out to Jacksonville. All 0.1 of you, probably, because that's the way that the numbers would even out. So he gets a 4-year, $88 million deal with $50.1 million of that being guaranteed. What happened to Blake Bortles?
He's not going to be a starting quarterback. Yeah, they benched him for someone just as bad. Who was it? Who did he get benched for? It was...
Correct me if I'm wrong while you think of that. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that team actually did fairly well the year before, didn't it?
Yeah, they went to the NFC, either the semifinals or the... I mean, the AFC semifinals or the championship.
Yeah, they went to the championship and they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then they came in this past year and they had like a good first couple of games, right? Maybe two or three? And then they just dropped completely off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I think they were 3-0 to start. Yeah. And they just completely disappeared.
And while I don't think that's all on Blake Bortles, I will say a big chunk of it is probably on Blake Bortles. He is not a great quarterback.
He was benched for Cody Kessler.
Who? Cody Kessler is...
A
career bench rider.
Yeah. He was he drafted by the Cleveland Browns?
The Cleveland Browns. So.
Oh, I forgot to play at USC.
That's a big story. Because theoretically, the Jaguars could be decent with somebody who's actually able to helm at the quarterback position. And don't let Nick Foles' drop off fool you. Don't forget he went to play for that quarterback killer, Jeff Fisher, for a few years. And Jeff Fisher is the king of the killed quarterback.
Yep. He tried to kill Jared Goff, too.
Yeah, he did. He killed Vince Young.
He killed Foles. I don't think he got to kill Mariota or try to kill Mariota.
I think he was already gone by then. Yeah. Well, what can you do?
So I think it's safe to say that Nick Foles will fall flat in his face and never be seen again. And so will Carson Wentz, and the Eagles will go down as a magical season because it wasn't a good. Oh, the Eagles lost Jordan Hicks.
Oh yeah, they did. But guess who they acquired? DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
A man that hated it while he was there and went to the Redskins to spite them.
Yeah. That was when Chip Kelly was there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. Everybody hates Chip Kelly. He was the worst NFL football coach of all time.
Yeah.
He basically took a team that was very good and... completely dismantled it.
Yeah. And replaced it with nothing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, he dropped everybody off that team. He got rid of a bunch of really good, like, let's see, did he get rid of? He dropped LeSean McCoy, right?
Right.
He was the reason that they started to ruin Nick Foles' career.
Mm-hmm. Because he was a full-time starter for a while.
Yeah, and he actually was pretty good the first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man.
I mean, there's some people that can go in, tear things apart, and make it better. He was not one of those people.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
John Gruden.
John Gruden. Who else is a really bad person who's like comes in really strong but actually doesn't have any idea what he's doing?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Guys who come in and, like, utilize formerly made teams and then destroy them afterwards.
Steve Kerr is a GM.
Well, that's a GM, though. That's different. Oh, Matt Millen is a GM.
Matt Millen, of course. Anyway, let's see.
Oh, what was his stupid name? Barry Switzer.
Legendarily terrible. He won the Super Bowl, but in spite of him, really.
He won the Super Bowl with Bill Parcells' players. No, not Bill Parcells. What the hell am I thinking? Jimmy Johnson's players.
Then, let's see. So you already got John Gruden, right?
Yeah, you got John Gruden. Yeah, John Gruden is the king of the list.
King of the list. Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, Fisher's, yeah, he's up there.
He's kind of just put a stranglehold on all the talent. there's one I'm forgetting. Darn it. Well, we'll have to keep going. It's going to bother me, but we must continue.
I feel like a lot of fans, or some fans, would try to argue that the coach of the Steelers isn't one of those guys. Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin?
I don't agree with that, but...
No, it took him a while before they started sliding off. I'm not going to...
Yeah, he was good for a long time. Yeah. They even won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The miracle catch. That pissed me off.
Yeah.
Poor Larry Fitzgerald shaking his head with his gloves taped to his face mask. No. all right. So we're talking about free agency. Sorry, it was supposed to be quick. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, has been signed by the Kansas City Chiefs.
For double money, what he was making in Houston.
Frank Gore is still, first off, alive, and two, playing football. One-year, $2 million deal for the Buffalo Bills. He's 35.
35-year-old running back.
That's a rarity in the NFL, folks.
And he's got a lot of miles on his tires.
Yes, he does.
I think, isn't he like, didn't he like break some record last year?
I think he did.
Like total career yards just out of sheer volume.
Oh, Danny Amendola's playing with the Lions. 1 year, $44.5 million deal. Congratulations, you've tricked a team into some money. of course, the Antonio Brown trade. Carlos Hyde going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, Michael Bennett goes to New England. Jesus Christ. I mean, I guess it's not... I mean, it's a beneficial trade to both teams, but my God, just give it to the damn Patriots. Wasn't their defense good enough in the damned Super Bowl? All right. Okay, well, oh my God, Denver traded Case Keenum to Washington. Okay, we've reached the drudges, folks. I'm sorry. Okay, that'll do it for free agency talk.
Frank Gore is fourth all time on the NFL rushing list.
Damn. I posted this earlier. A LeBron versus MJ story, but there's a lot of active sports happening. So why don't we save that? That's kind of an evergreen topic, right? LeBron versus
MJ.
Besides, it's also for the ability for us to get into some horrific moments, including the fact that if you just think about a couple of, like, basically two plays, LeBron could be 1-8 in the finals. I just want you to think about that for a second, Ray Allen. But let's not forget.
But we got revenge, Nick. It's okay.
You know what, though? Yeah, I think... I don't know if we would go to the finals the year after if we win.
The beautiful game Spurs, Nick, may have never happened.
Oh my God, the beautiful game Spurs is one of the most perfect moments. God, it's nice to see Marco Bellinelli back. I love Marco. He pisses me off, but God, he's like the closest thing to Manu Ginobili.
Yeah, except without any defense, but...
That is true. But his offense...
It's like if Manu did not play any defense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's real quick just check in on the NBA. We'll do a little like, boop, 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 see what's going on, right? So the Bucks are like the team to beat apparently at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're 50-17 on the season. Even the Warriors, who are the team that everybody's going to bow down and kiss their toes and everything, are 45-21. Wow. And Klay Thompson and Steph Curry combined to miss 22 three-pointers. See, the key to beating them is just hoping that they beat themselves.
Yeah. Oh, and they had it was a bit of an ugliness in that game, Nick, where Steve Kerr was like, what the F is with Draymond Green?
Oh, yeah, he's like, I'm so effing tired of Draymond Green's S. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
And Klay Thompson calling out the fans, which is one of the cardinal no-nos.
Yeah, what the hell was he calling? I'm sorry, did Klay Thompson call out the fans of Golden State?
Yeah, he expected them to be louder.
Okay.
To be more into it.
One, I'm going to say that a team that shouldn't have any fan base whatsoever, except for the fact that they've been good the last few years and have gotten some bandwagoners, should shut the hell up.
Yep. Maybe their fans are actually those Oakland fans and not all those yuppies from San Francisco that have a little more fire.
You know, I used to like... One, I never really had a problem with the Warriors until they got really good and everybody, like, jumped on the bandwagon. Right? Like basically when everybody became Red Sox fans after 2004. You remember that, right?
Yeah. I don't like any East Coast teams.
Well, that's fair.
They're all bad. All bad people over there. They don't have chicken fried steak, Nick. How can I trust those people?
Okay, so basically the way I'm going to look at this, Daryl, is that there are four teams that are going to vie for the championship, and then there's everybody else. And those four teams are the Bucks, and the Raptors in the East, and the Warriors, and the Rockets in the West. Now, here's the thing that you forget. The Rockets don't play any defense.
Right.
They lost one of their great defensive staples, which is a weird phrase when it comes to the Rockets, but still, they did lose Trevor Ariza earlier this year. I don't know that they have enough to get it done, and Harden is one of those guys. By the way, I'm sorry. So it's those four teams in there, but I just want to throw this out there. I was scrolling through Twitter the other day, and somebody was like, if it weren't for, what was the quote? If it weren't for Kevin Durant, okay, this is it. If it weren't for Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, then the Rockets would have been in the finals the last 2 years. That's what somebody said. And I went back, Daryl, and I took a little look-see. Last year, that's true. But the year before that, the San Antonio Spurs decimated the Rockets in game six. And Manu Ginobili came up with the block that won it.
Yep.
And I don't.
They didn't even play the. They didn't even play the Warriors that year.
No, that was the beginning of the end, by the way, for the Spurs and Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard rolled his ankle and apparently could never walk again until he started playing with the Raptors.
Yeah, he's walking just fine now.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's everybody else. Like I said, once again, you know, I have to admit, this year it actually seems interesting because I feel like a team in the East. More than one team in the East is actually good, right? That's a change of pace for starters. Two, I feel like both those teams could potentially win.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that happens a lot. It's something that happens here. And it actually does relate a little bit back to the LeBron James thing that we were going to talk about. But they did ask the question in the LeBron James article versus MJ. Because it seemed to be a true thing of both MJ and LeBron, when they left, because MJ left basketball for a little while, and LeBron left.
His home planet needed him.
Yeah, and LeBron left the East, and that left a power vacuum, right? And in that time, like, instead of it just being another team becoming viable, it's like two or three other teams are now viable. So it's like, did him leaving cause these other three teams to be viable? Or was it just these three teams were preparing to deal with the BS that comes with playing that person, and that is what catapulted them into the position that they're in now, right? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an interesting point because it's like, why not both?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When you face a guy for a long enough time, like think about this. LeBron was seen as the guy who couldn't get it done for many years against the Celtics. Remember? He could never get past them. And that was always the thing. If you face a team that is daunting, or like a person on a team that is daunting, they become your Everest and you can't get past them.
Right.
And that, I think, is kind of what happened in these situations, right? Like, some of these teams are like, we just can't do it. And LeBron really in the East never had a team that was like his foe after that. When he played for Miami, a team in the East that went toe-to-toe with him, can you even think of one?
There were the Pacers that 1 year, but then they completely disintegrated after that. They almost lost to the Nets in one of the ugliest series I've seen. Yeah, no, other than that one time when with the Pacers, that was it.
No, the Pacers, yeah. The Pacers.
It was just the rotting carcass of the Celtics. And after he got over that, and they were done.
Well, I guess last year was the Celtics just falling apart or whatever. Or was that 2 years ago?
That was
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Because last year,
the Celtics went on that magical run.
Yeah, they did. That's right. After Kyrie got hurt, they went on a run.
Oh, then maybe that was it. Because then they ended up losing, like, to LeBron, I think.
Yeah, they lost to LeBron in the finals. I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah.
But now no one has to worry about LeBron in the playoffs this year.
Nope. It's the first time he's missed the playoffs since 2005.
Which was his rookie year.
It was.
Yes. So now he can go down as... And people gave him all the credit for dragging a bunch of nobodies to the finals last year. Couldn't drag this bunch of nobodies to the playoffs.
Well, to his credit, he did get hurt. And was forced to sit out for a good chunk of those games. It is interesting. I feel like the Lakers are such a... I'm trying to think about his reasoning. And, like, yes, they're a storied... their storied team, but it's a storied team that you have to rebuild at the age of 35.
Yeah.
Worth it. I don't know if we'll know that answer for a long time, although maybe he turns it around. Honestly, before he got hurt, he was dragging that team kicking and screaming to the playoffs, and they might have done something because their defensive rotation was actually looking pretty decent for a while there. It's unfortunate their offense is kind of crap, but
Nick, what are you talking about?
What? Their defense looked good.
The Lakers is one of the worst defenses in the league.
Look, before he got hurt, they had like a 5-game stretch where their defense looked good. And I'm basing the fact that they seem to be coming to a point where it could have worked.
I think they're like...
They're really bad on defense.
They're like no higher than 27th in any sort of statistical defensive category.
Yeah. I mean, they put themselves in a hole.
LeBron James himself is a good defender. I don't think the team was getting any better.
I think that they were finding more of a groove. How about that?
than they had, sure.
Surprisingly enough, we didn't talk about it last week, but the Boston Celtics with Gordon Hayward, they're trying to get him back to where he was, and he's still a little tentative. He's also still dealing with a little bit of pain, so it's like, will he ever get back to where he was? And apparently,
just trade him to the Raptors. He'll feel better automatically.
Oh, it kills me inside.
Not better.
The Thunder are decent this year. It's really weird. Like, I don't know what to think. I feel like the playoffs are actually going to be a lot of fun this year. And I feel like I end up saying that every year. But in the West especially, I feel like any of those teams can compete. If they, you know, decide not to just poop the bed. And the East, the top four teams actually are fun to watch in some instances. So, I think we're in for a nice finish of the season. Like, I'm very excited to see what happens. hope the Spurs decide to keep playing. Although they've won 7 straight now.
Yeah. After going 1-7 on their road trip, they have won 7 straight.
They look good. They look good in the process. Although tonight was close. Okay. Let's see. I was going to go into some stuff about the conference tournament week for men's basketball. But I don't care about a lot of the teams on this list.
Yeah, I mean, there's some teams that can work their way into a 1 seed. There's some, you know, it's basically just for seeding.
There's some teams on the bubble, I guess, is
ultimately. Yeah, like the Longhorns.
But here's the thing about the bubble teams. They don't win. They don't win the championship.
Nick, I think you're wrong. I think this year, one of the last 4 in will win. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, man, the Longhorns are on that list. Maybe.
Yeah, they are.
You know who they get to play? Yeah. You know who they get to play out the gate is Kansas. They basically have to win that game.
A team that they have never beaten in the Big 12 tournament.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
Trust me, I've seen it. Never happened.
By the way, in the past, is it 10 years? I think it's the past 10 years. Only 3 teams in the Big 12 have won the Big 12 champion, the tournament. Can you name them?
Let's see. Tech.
No.
All right.
Go with the easy one first. You know one.
Well, obviously Kansas.
Of course.
Did Oklahoma State win one?
No.
Did OU win one?
No.
Well, that's it. Those are the only ones that could have been. Did Iowa State win one?
Yes, they won
what's
2.
His name? Ah. With that coach. And that one player who was like afraid to fly in a plane.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what happened to that guy because he like got drafted in the NBA. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess he's not flying anywhere.
Yeah.
The other one, I believe, is no longer a part of the Big 12.
Did Missouri win one?
Missouri won. They won one in 2012 and another one in 2009.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I didn't know that either. I was like, this is crazy.
I just assume Kansas won them all because...
Because they're Kansas. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, actually.
The universe hates me.
Before I looked it up, I thought the exact same thing.
You know what, Nick? You know, this has been a pretty acrimonious season for the Longhorns. If they can knock out Kansas from the tournament... I say a 5-year extension for Shaka Smart.
You're not going to need one. He still has 2 years left on his deal.
Yep. $12 million buyout.
Also, it doesn't make sense to buy him out because who the hell are you going to get to replace him?
Rick Barnes.
I actually made that joke as well. If you're not familiar with the situation, Rick Barnes was the coach of Texas and was pretty stagnant for many years. In fact, they went to the tournament like... I want to say like 3 out of 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And only they didn't make it past the opening weekend once in that time.
Yep.
Actually, I want to say that in like the past 8 years of his career, they did not make it past the first weekend.
Yeah, we never got to the Sweet 16. Yep. Well, it was the round of 32 if we even got that far.
But then he went to Tennessee, folks, and made it one of the best teams in the NCAA.
Yep. Top 5 team with a chance in their tournament to get a 1 seed, but we'll see. We'll see. Texas will be lucky if they win a game in the tournament.
If they win their game, I think they're in.
Yeah.
If they lose, they're probably dead.
It's off to the NIT.
You know why they're dead? Because they'd be 16-16.
Yep.
16-16.
Remember when Texas beats North Carolina?
They beat them every fucking year. I swear to God, every year we talk about the Longhorns, and they're like, oh, yeah, they beat North Carolina that year. It's like, oh, man, that's great. How'd they do overall? They sucked.
Yeah.
All
right. Nick, remember that one time when they were, like, undefeated going into conference play? And they were like in the top five in the country. And then they like proceeded to win like maybe three conference games.
Oh my God. Yes, I do remember that.
That was a very painful time to be alive. Now I know what it was like to live through the fall of the Roman Empire, Nick.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Exactly what it felt like.
Just like the Vandals sacking Rome. That's what it was like watching that season. I feel for you, late Romans.
All right, Daryl. Well, how about we finish it up with some fun?
Okay. All right.
Fun. All right. Here we go. It's time for Quick Hits. It's a segment we do every single week that gets the weirder, wilder side of sports and all the weird stuff that's happening there. So we'll start off with this one. Okay, James Dolan, a name that some of you are familiar with and some of you may not be, but he basically is the owner of the Knicks.
Yeah.
And
inspiration for Dolan Duck.
He is the inspiration for Dolan Duck. He's Russian, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
James Dolan? No, he's not Russian.
Oh, okay, never mind.
You're thinking of Mikhail Prokhorov, the former owner of the Nets.
So
James Dolan is American-made, baby.
At a game at Madison Square Garden, which is where the Knicks play their home games, James Dolan is walking with his entourage out from the floor and back into the the tunnel area. And as he walks past, a group of people tell him to sell the team. And he asks him when it could not come to any more games. And he tells him to enjoy watching them on TV. And so he bans the fan from coming to Madison Square Garden games after that. That's what he did.
Yep.
Not a petty man.
Yep. Now he claims that it was part of an ambush, and
everything may have been,
but he walked right into it. He didn't know that, just looking up and hearing that guy say it. It's not like this is.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
he heard someone say sell the team and he kicked him out.
He's like, oh man, how did he get the guy's name or something? He's just like, that seat, that man, never again. But speaking of, so going off of the fan interaction with NBA people, here's a weird story. Not a weird story. I feel like it's becoming more common. The Utah Jazz ended up permanently banning a fan who had a heated exchange with the Oklahoma City Thunder star Russell Westbrook. So, if you're not familiar with the story, a video came out of Westbrook basically threatening the guy and his girlfriend, saying that he would F him up. He would F up the guy. He's like, I'll F you both up, or something like that, right? I'll F you up, I'll F her up. That's not the exact quote. But the video came out, and it made it look like it was Russell Westbrook in the negative light here, that it was his fault. Westbrook's side of the story is that the guy came out and had said something like, get back down on your knees where you're used to and belong. Again, not the exact quote, but very similar to that. And that is corroborated by a couple of players on the Thunder, and later actually corroborated by the Utah Jazz themselves after an investigation. So that does seem to be what was actually said. Now, the guy says that he said, you better keep ice in them knees. You're going to need it. That's what the guy says he said. But if you look at the guy, and I've got like three different articles for this because it's like there's a lot that came out about it. In fact, a bunch of it came out earlier tonight. The guy looks like a big fat idiot. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He's a big fat idiot. He's a big, fat, stupid, camo hat-wearing idiot. Sorry, that's rude. I'm sorry. I'm not speaking ill of camo. I can't see it because it's clearly blending in with everything else. Mm-hmm. Except for the the stupid Jazz logo on it. Anyway. This dude's name is Shane Kiesel. He's a 45-year-old. He says he didn't cuss at him. He said that the exchange started off as fun. He yelled, "Ice those knees up. You're going to need it." And says that his girlfriend, I guess it's his wife, it doesn't matter, didn't participate in the exchange. He said he just went nuts. And his wife never got up. She never stood up. She never said a word to him. I mean, it's all fine. We're having fun and games with the guy, and we're talking, but at the end of the day, no man should threaten a woman, period. He's like, "I'm not afraid of the guy. Come on up. But when you threaten a woman that's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, you're a big man. So this guy needs to be exposed. He's a big fat idiot." So he gets banned permanently now, by the way, speaking of the bans. Westbrook is fined $25,000 for his part because he did say something threatening. Also, the NBA did say that it was directing profanity and threatening language to a fan. And the Jazz, you know, to the Jazz's credit, they backed Westbrook. They said, you know, like, there's no room for that in this game. Like, their behavior does not reflect that of the Jazz fans and the people who are here. We want this to be a positive environment. You know, all the stuff they should be saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that there should be a zero tolerance policy when it comes to something like that. Again, the video said that he'll F them up. Okay, yeah, so a bunch of people confirmed it. Even Gobert, who was, you know, playing against him, he plays for the Jazz, was saying that there's no place for that either. And that they have Russ's back as well. And a lot of the players have come out and said now that they feel like it's kind of uncomfortable with the way the audience is very close. And it is, it always has been. But I feel like a lot of these fans lately have been emboldened to actually say things and like do stuff. Like, it's one thing to shout like, "I love you," you know, things like that, right? Or another thing to be like, "Boo!
Boo."
It's another thing to like, say shit about.
Airball.
Yeah, that's fun. Or like, you know, screaming Corky at guys who corked their bats. Definitely never did that. But like, I mean, that's part of the game. But like, when you say something that like, one, comes off as offensive like that, and also two, can be like insinuated in a racist connotation, like that, you're asking for trouble. And like, I don't want to paint the guy in a light, but looking at him, I feel like it was a bit of a racist connotation. I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at him, he's a big fat idiot.
Nick, come on, let's give him a little credit. It could also have been homophobic, right?
That's true. It actually could have been. That is also very possible, because I'm looking at him, and again, he's a big fat idiot. I could see him being both of those things. Everybody stood with Westbrook, but apparently this dude, Kiesel, or whatever his stupid name is, big fat idiot, is pursuing legal action now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens there, but who cares?
Because you're private, because it's not public event?
I guess, dude, I don't know. Like, here's the thing.
Because you got kicked out of a non-public event.
Westbrook was also involved in something earlier last month where a kid who was sitting courtside ended up touching him, like reaching out and touching him. And Westbrook responded by briefly lecturing him and addressing the father and told them that fans at games have too much leeway. And, you know, it is true. They're literally like almost knee to knee with you. Mm-hmm. They're sitting right behind him. Wasn't there a video like fairly recently of like a fan grabbing a dude by like his jacket who's like a coach and like yanking on it to get him out of the way or something? I'm just saying a lot of this stuff is happening. All right, next up on Quick Hits. Serge Ibaka and Marquese Chris were ejected from Monday night's game between the Raptors and the Cavaliers after getting into an altercation. They went to the floor after battling for position under Cleveland's basket, and Ibaka shoved Chris from behind and grabbed near his neck before throwing a punch. Chris responded with a punch before players from both teams separated the two. Both players were kicked out after the officials conferred.
Yes. And Serge Ibaka ended up getting a 3-game suspension. And the other guy, I think, got 1 game or 2 games.
Do you remember when the Thunder decided to spend all that money on Serge Ibaka instead of keeping James Harden?
Yep.
Do you think they regret that decision?
I hope so.
Me too.
Yep, they could have had a big three of Harden, Durant, and Westbrook, and then they ended up having just Westbrook because Ibaka ended up falling off a cliff production wise.
And Kevin Durant became a coward.
Yep.
You know, and I'm all for people going and winning, but he single handedly kind of ruined the NBA.
Yep. I think he'll go down as...
That is not hyperbole. I completely believe that.
I think he'll go down as probably the... What can we say? Whoa. Yeah, I'm watching the footage. Watching the footage of the altercation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Serge Ibaka really got into it. So they got knocked down. So there was an inbounds pass going across the court. And he get knocked down. And then, like... Looks like everything's done. Everyone's already setting up for the next play, and then he just springs up and just rams them into the backboard's hooked up and starts wailing on him. Like, it's not like, oh, they bump into each other's face and they start, like, no, he just, like, sprung up. Like, it was done. It was over. Maybe he said something to him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. Okay. Next up on Quick Hits. Okay, I'm moving around a little bit here, Daryl. I'm going with this this football genius, Charlie Casserly. All right, it's the last one on there. Okay, I'm not going to read the headline because it gives it all away. So, he's a guy on the NFL Network. He opined that the Cowboys receiver, Cole Beasley, didn't see enough of the ball last year. And that is because... the team was relying too much on wide receiver Dez Bryant.
Yep.
Dez Bryant, who did not play for the Cowboys last year, who did not play football last year. He went to play for the Saints for a little bit and then got hurt.
Blew out his knee before he ever played in the game.
Which is sad because I actually thought that would have been a really good fit for him.
Yeah.
So... I know that, okay, we misspeak, okay? I was in radio for a long time. You misspeak, you say a person's name.
Yeah.
It's Dez Bryant, though. Who else are you throwing the ball to too much? Amari Cooper? It's not a team that was throwing the ball a ton.
Yeah. And, like, I can see, like, if the names are similar or... But Amari Cooper and Dez Bryant do not sound similar.
Damari Booper.
They don't look similar. They don't play similarly.
Nope. They're built differently.
They are very much not the same person.
Very much not even close to the same person.
This is a guy who watches all the film.
All the film. He's old, though. He looks... He can't read the prompter. He's squinting real bad. All right. And you know what, Daryl? Let's end with this one. I love this story. It's so stupid. At first, I was like, I don't want to read this. Like, this is going to upset me. This Iditarod race leader lost after his dogs quit. And at first, you're like, that's stupid. Like, the dog, like, what? The dogs just, like, plop down and stop caring.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. All right. So, the morning of this story, GPS tracking data showed that Nicholas Petit and his dogs had crawled to a halt a few miles outside of the shelter cabin after running for only 12 miles. And they had like a 14-mile lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, he didn't intend to stop where he stopped. And both Pete Kaiser and Dwar Lefist. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Olsen, whatever your actual name pronunciation is. They both passed him while he was stopped. So Petit also lost after leading last year, but he was undone by a navigational mishap. This year, he told the Iditarod Insider in an interview that things started to break down when one of his dogs, whose name was Joey, took a bathroom break. He didn't specify what kind. And Joey's unscheduled deposit drew the ire of an older dog who, per Petit, got a hold of him at one point. He jumped on him while he was on the ground. And then Petit said, and this, I didn't read this before, this makes me uncomfortable, everybody heard Daddy yelling, which doesn't happen, and then they wouldn't go anymore, anywhere, so we camped here. Petit stressed that none of his dogs had physical ailments and that his team's long surprising break was simply a head thing. Losing because a dog got mad at another dog over a poop is a pretty brutal turn of fate. But having happened in the same place as your own race ending mishap from a year earlier is so much worse. I just like the idea of a dog turning to another dog and be like, nope.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, party foul. All right.
Joey, you little bastard.
You son of a bitch. Who do you think you are, Joey? just pooping wherever you feel like? We're a team, all right? You know what? I don't even want to look at you. Guys, can we, like, keep going? This is all right. Shut up.
Shut human. Up, human. This is between us. We're going to sit here until he thinks about it. Yeah, the dogs are talking. These dogs are barking.
I don't understand what you're saying. You're a dog.
Shut up, human.
Anyway. Joey.
Oh, I think we've reached the delirious stage of the podcast. all right. Well, that'll do it for Quick Hits. I'll save some of these stories for next week. There's a couple of them. Okay. What do you want, cat? Jesus Christ. Cat's meowing at me like crazy. I'm fed her already. Well, thanks for listening to us go on and on about different things tonight. The scandal. Check it out if you can. It is truly, truly a delight. this coach is taking bribes story. Also with actresses being implicated. Oh, it's so good. Also, yeah, we'll talk more about the NBA next time. If there's time, we'll get into the LeBron versus MJ argument, which Zach Lowe wrote a great story about. If you have time, you should check it out on ESPN.com. Also, we'll get into men's basketball as we'll be talking basically about the tournament because I believe, yeah, Selection Sunday is this Sunday, right? No.
Yep.
Yes. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they'll be making the selections this upcoming Sunday. We'll be able to talk about the teams that are in or out. We'll also be able to talk about the first four games of the tournament because those will be going on. Wait, the first two games of the tournament because technically the play-in games are on Tuesday.
Right.
Okay. So we'll be back to talk about that stuff.
You mean the first four, Nick?
Whatever. Who cares? Well, no, we'll talk about the first two because the two games will be happening that night.
Yeah, but there's two teams per game, so they're the first
four. So the first four, you're right.
Remember the branding.
Yeah. All right.
The branding is important.
Thank you, Daryl. I'm glad we cleared that up. All right, folks.
We're not getting paid. We can call it the hell we want.
Yeah, suck it. thanks so much for watching and or listening. Don't forget, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can watch the live one Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. That's on twitch.tv/Schwarzenegger. I'll be sure to link it below. And don't forget to tell your friends. Shred the word. That's what I meant to say. Yep.
Shred that word,
shred
baby.
Shred it, baby.
Shred it like a barrel.
Shred like
that
a barrel.
I don't know anything about surfing.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Blood Skulls Rock is here in the live thing. Thank you for listening / watching. Yo. All right. We'll be back next time to talk more. Maybe even get a guest on with us. When I say guest, I mean like, you know, John or Chase. Not like a real person.
Maybe we'll get Adam Schefter. We'll see. I'll send some feelers. See if we can get Adam Schefter on the show.
You know, I had what's his name's number for a long time. Why can't I think of his damn name? The dude from Philly. He was always on the Philly beat. He had white hair. He's Italian.
Peter.
No, he's Italian. You know,
Luke Gossage.
Sal Palantonio.
Sal Palantonio.
Yeah. I had his number, and I've left him several messages. He won't return my calls.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Hey, would you like to come on a podcast that gets 12 listens?
Yeah, come on, Sal.
Come on, Sal. I ran tape for you at the Super Bowl one time years ago.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another day. All right. Well, thanks for listening and watching, everybody. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. Bye.
Bye.
The cat meowed right at that moment.